Tonight we're going to be turning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, beginning at verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, of whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 11. We do trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake. This evening we're going to take as our text that last phrase of verse number 7. A very familiar phrase. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. My title is but one word. Knock. Knock. Before we consider the Word of God, though, let's turn our hearts to Him in prayer, and let's ask Him that He would meet with us around His Word. Our Father and our God, we do give Thee great thanks that Thou dost give us precious promises. Lord, we're thankful that Thy Word has told us plainly that Thou wilt never leave us, Thou wilt never forsake us, Thou wilt never cease to do us good because Christ lives and obtains that goodness for us by His blood. Lord, we're thankful that even as we come to this evening hour and we would seek a word from Thee, Lord, we know that Thy goodness indeed is set for us to speak to us and to bring us that word, to give us of Thyself, to give us of Thy love and of Thy grace. Lord, we come to Thee then in Jesus' name. We do ask of Thee, O Lord, speak to us much. Encourage us with Thine own heart. Encourage us with who You are and what we have because of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray this night that Thou wilt allow us to be drawn unto Thyself. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt take us up. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt allow the Spirit of God to minister to us. Lord, bless us, we ask. Remember Thy Son. Remember that He is worthy to be honored by Thy ministry among Thy people. Lord, we put ourselves before Thee. And Lord, I ask as Thy servant that Thou wilt remember me. I pray, O God, that Thou wilt remember that I am but flesh. And Lord, I need Thy good Spirit to help. And Lord, I pray that Thou wilt send him forth. Lord, guide my words and thoughts. Lord, bless us all as we would look unto Thee for Thy blessing to our souls. And this we ask in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. In Matthew chapter 7, the subject that we have at hand is, and quite obviously so, the matter of prayer. The apostle here, in setting forth the Word of God, sets forth to us that, in the words of Christ, that we have an expectation when we are praying. We can come to the Lord and we can ask, and we shall receive. Seek, and we shall find. But then there is the use of the Lord Jesus of this interesting thought here, that we are to knock like those who come to a door. And what is behind the door indeed shall be opened to us. Now let me say this, when we are dealing with these words here, we are, yes, dealing with the subject of prayer, but we're not dealing with it generally. I think that there's some specific facet, something particular about prayer that the Lord is meaning to teach us here, and that is that we can expect, as the people of God, to be able to reach heaven's supply. What the Lord has in His hand, whether it be grace, whether it be strengthenings, whether it be the very treasures of Christ, whatever heaven's supply is that we stand in need of, that is what the Lord shall open to us. We have access to this. In other words, What we're dealing with here is the matter of obtaining what our souls need from the hand of God. The Lord is saying, in other words, what do you need? What is it that your souls would like to have from the hand of God? Will you come? And you knock, and it shall be open to you, and you shall receive. In thinking about this lesson tonight, an allegory comes to mind, a well-known allegory. In fact, perhaps I may be treading on such familiar waters that some of you perhaps can recount this allegory to me better than I can to you. Perhaps you will remember Pilgrim's Progress. Perhaps you'll remember within Pilgrim's Progress there is a day or a time in which Pilgrim, on his way, as he sets forth at the very headway on the way to heaven, that Pilgrim comes to a place that is known as the Wicket Gate. And above this gate, or on to the side there, there is a sign above that gate that says, "Knock and it shall be opened unto you." I want us to think perhaps of that illustration. I want us to use that allegory in some ways to help us understand perhaps more of what the Lord Jesus Himself is saying to us through His Word. The Wicket Gate. And we'll stay in that vein and see what it is indeed that Pilgrim saw, and then perhaps be able to apply it to our lives. I will say this, that as Pilgrim came to that gate, he came as a man who yet was seeking life. But there is very much which is true that was revealed in that place with regard to one who is yet seeking Christ for salvation that is also true for us who seek Christ for other reasons. So let's notice. Let's notice God's own lesson on successful supplication. That's what we have here. God's lesson on successful supplication. How do you get from God what you need? And we'll use this little picture to help us understand what the Lord Jesus is saying here. First thing I want us to understand and to think on, and perhaps we can even relate it to what Pilgrim saw as he came to that gate. The first thing I must deal with is what I am calling a discouraging approach. A discouraging approach. Perhaps you'll remember that as Pilgrim came to the Wicket Gate, he noticed that the gate was closed. He noticed that the gate was closed. It may be, in some ways, indeed how we come to the Lord when we come in our times of need. When we approach the whole matter of obtaining something from the hand of God that will help us, we might feel, you know, I am persuaded that the door or the gate into the presence of God, or that gate to which I come, that I would enter in and find the help of God, that gate is closed to me. In our hearts, when we view things like that, sometimes get a little bit discouraged. Do we not conclude from time to time that our way to the Lord is blocked? Do we not allow our minds to think on that sometimes, or entertain those thoughts deep down? And you know, I think that's what's interesting is even when we do come to the time when we would approach this door, the door that the Lord says that we are to knock on, we would think, you know, the Lord's access or access into His throne room is blocked. And you know what? I think that it ought to be that way. It's right that He has blocked that door. It ought to be so. And we can conjure up in our minds feelings and reasons why we are sure that the door of God's help is to be closed. Perhaps we can look at our own sinfulness and say, oh yes, that's a good reason why the Lord would not want to open the door to His blessings and to all the resources that I might have. There's sin, as the prophet says, sin lieth at the door. It crouches at the door. Certainly sin is there, and that has caused the Lord to close the door of His blessing to me. Perhaps we might even look in our hearts and say, well, you know, I don't know of a sin that I can put my finger on, but I certainly can look at my own heart and I can see that there's a lack of fervency. Doesn't the Scripture say that we are to be effectual in our prayers? Aren't we to give ourselves wholly into seeking the Lord our God? Are we not to be those who will not cease in prayer? And we look at ourselves and say, oh, that's not my case. Certainly those descriptions do not fit me well. I am one who is not fervent in prayer. In fact, we might even conclude, I am one who is not only not fervent in prayer, but I am one who is little in prayer. And certainly it would stand to reason then that as I would come to the Lord and need His help and seek His blessing, I might conclude, well, that God's door of blessing is shut. Perhaps we might go to the place where we look at our hearts and we analyze what it is the Lord has done for us in the past. And we conclude, oh, how ungrateful to God I have been. Ingratitude reigns within me. I seem to take for granted the things that Christ has done. I seem to go lightly over the things that Christ has suffered. Those things that have been purchased for me by blood mean very little to me, I am afraid, and how little gratitude there is in my heart toward what Christ has done. Yes, if God didn't bless me, I would understand it well. I would believe indeed that the door should be shut because of that. Perhaps some of us would entertain hard thoughts about our God. Perhaps we might even think that the reason why God would withhold His blessing is because there's a sternness in God. I'll say that that is a conclusion of many in the world. I say that's perhaps the conclusion that's the standard conclusion in the Roman Catholic Church. God is stern. God is harsh. God must be placated. You cannot come to God and ask for a blessing. Some of us here in this room have come out of Roman Catholic backgrounds. Some of us could know well how it would be for one to say, well, I will approach God, and what the response you might get. Oh, you can't do that. The Lord must be appeased. You must come and do things in order for the Lord to crack that gate into the place of blessing. You must do your confessions. You must do your Hail Marys. You must do whatever it is there. Oh, the world will tell us very much that God is a stern God, and that's a reason why we might expect that the gate might be closed. You know, we might also think that our logic would tell us that this is how we would expect to find it. When you come to God's blessing, He doesn't just have an open chest of treasure there for any man to come and dip willy-nilly. We would expect that God's gate, as it were, to the place of blessing would be closed. You know, you would think that God would hold that in some sort of reserve, or that God would guard it jealously, all the blessings that we would have in Christ. So I say, as Pilgrim came to that gate and he noticed that the gate was closed, we might also with some sort of discouragement approach the gate of God's blessing, much as we're instructed to do here, and be somewhat discouraged within our hearts, feeling like there is some reason why God would have the gate of His blessing closed to us. But let me tell you of the truth. The gate is not locked. The gate is not closed as we might imagine. The gate to God's blessing is that which swings freely. Indeed, for it swings upon the blood of Jesus Christ, as it were. It is upon His work that that gate swings open, not because we come and we are those who would merit having that gate open for us. It is open because another has opened it. Or may I put it to you this way, it is open because another has been opened for us. God's way to blessing is open freely for His people. Let us not forget that. Let us not be those who would be so despairing or so discouraged because our hearts would try to convince us that the gate is closed. It is always open to the redeemed. But let me put it to you this way. The door can become one in which we find the Lord guarding. If you go to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 19, it speaks of a people who wandered around the wilderness for 40 years. A people who sought to enter into the land of blessing, the land of plenty, but there was a reason why they were not able to come in. Hebrews 3 and 19 says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. It may be that our unbelieving hearts for a time cause God to withhold the fullness of His blessing. But what I guess I'm trying to say is even though that may be the case, it can be opened. It yet can be opened and shall be opened. For as with Pilgrim, and he thought, perceived, as it were, the gate was closed, You will find also, along with that discouraging approach, you'll find also a hopeful invitation. Because as Pilgrim came to that gate, he noticed that there was a sign. Even though his mind said, this thing is closed, yet there was something that caused him to hope, and that was what he read there. There was an invitation to him to knock. Knock. You knock. Knock because there shall be an opening. There's every indication by that word that the Lord intends to open to us His blessing and to give to us as our heart needs. You know, knocking is a simple thing. Knocking is not a highly involved technical or a deeply mystical type of thing. We're not talking about something that the Lord is saying, this is a very, very difficult procedure that we have to go through in order to find the way open to us into the place where God's blessing is. It's a very simple thing. But you know, knocking does in some ways require faith. The very fact that you would knock does require faith. It requires faith because indeed one wonders how one will be received on the other side. You say, I'm not sure about it. What do you mean? Well, let me ask you this. Has anybody in this room ever been out on door-to-door visitation? Have you ever tried it? Do you know the hardest thing about door-to-door visitation? It's not getting out of your car. It's not a car. It's not walking up the sidewalk. It's not holding those tracts in your hand or whatever you're going to do. The hardest thing with door-to-door visitation is... Why? Because you know in your mind, the minute I have done that, I have committed myself. I'm in this. The knock has been made. Oh, you step back. I don't know about me. Am I alone in this? You step back. Oh, I wonder how I'm going to be received. I'm sure there's going to be an 800-pound man in here who's coming out, and he's got arms that are that big around, and he's just like, what do you want? And I can just say, no, that's how it's going to be. Am I not right? That's how you think it's going to be when you go out on door-to-door visitation. What's the thought? Knocking commits me. But you know the Lord does ask of us to knock. We wonder, what shall I receive of the Lord? Will I truly be received by Him? Oh, I want you to understand, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to you and He says, I want you to knock, that is the full indication that you will be well received. His invitation over that door, the invitation that was inscribed over that wicket gate, was that which inspired hope in Christian. You will be well received when you knock. So knock. And you know, I say this is also, I said it's not very difficult. This whole matter is good news for the common and the simple among us. You know, you don't have to be brilliant to be able to knock. You don't have to be highly educated in order to knock. You don't have to be deep in theological understanding to be able to come, as it were, and to knock on the wicket gate. The simple man, the simple woman, the child can come to the Lord Jesus, as it were, and knock on the door. You can come to the Lord and you can say, Lord, I am here seeking You. I am knocking, not literally on wood, but I am knocking with my heart. And the Lord says, I will receive you. And you know, it doesn't matter how you knock either. There's no instruction on how you knock. You know, it's interesting when you hear people knock, different ones, how they knock. If you're my uncle, it has to be a song. You ever heard people like that? You know, it's not just a... It's something else. I mean, it has to be a song. And you have to figure, okay... You have to know the song in your head to be able to know what my uncle's trying to rip. That's just the way he is. But other people, you know, it's just... Or it might be the feeble attempt. You just think about perhaps an elderly lady who is very, very weak, who might come to the door. You don't expect her to do the... You don't do that. You expect maybe this to be a... But you know what? It doesn't matter how you knock. It's the fact that you knock. The Lord does not say, when you come to me, I'm expecting you to be able to come in a certain fashion. I don't expect you to pray like so-and-so. I don't expect you to come and to recite the promises of God like brother so-and-so. I don't expect you to be able to come and to knock like this other man over here. I just simply say you are to come and you are to knock as best you can and in any way you can. The difference of whether the door opens is whether hand touches door. You know, it's one thing to raise the hand and to start to knock, and it's quite another thing to actually hear the... I'm going to confess something. I remember sometimes when I have, and maybe sometimes when I have actually been out, let me put it to you this way. Very, very early in my life, when I was probably about 18 or 19, I can remember the first time I went, one of the first times I ever asked a young lady out, and I went over to her house to pick her up. And I can remember getting to the door and being just so scared. I was scared stiff, and I can remember, you feel like, maybe I better not knock. Maybe, you know, yeah, I don't know. You girls, you never have gone through this, but you guys, perhaps, you maybe have been there. You just wonder, ooh, if I knock, now I'm in it. I am in it if I hit that door. And your hand going, I have found it. I have done that. I'm confessing, I have done that. I've been going. But you know what? That's not knocking. The intent. Going through all the motions of raising the arm, that's not knocking. It's not knocking until you actually put skin to wood, as it were. We are to be a people of faith where we put our hearts to the promise of God. There it is, Lord. My heart is being applied to Thy promise. I knock. Well, we have a useful provision also. It's been suggested by some that as Pilgrim approached that gate, he saw something on the door. In the days in which we live, you don't have these things. In our days, when you come to the door and you mean to speak with somebody in the house, what do? Well, if you're one of our neighbor kids, you push the button, and 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 you push the button. And I'm not exaggerating. We've got one little fellow who comes across the road, and he just stands there, ding, 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 ding. And you think, what is with this kid? And it's always, always, always Sunday afternoon while you're taking your nap. Then you hear the ding, 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 ding. Oh, there's Malik up at the door again. But we have doorbells. In the older days, they didn't have doorbells. They had something that was called a door knocker. Does anybody know what a door knocker looks like? Well, you older folks know well what a door knocker is. Maybe some of you young kids. Ask your mom and dad what a door knocker is. Have them show you one sometime. But I'm saying, you know, the Lord tells us that we are to knock, but you know what? He's furnished us with a knocker. He's furnished us with that which will actually gain the attention of God. He's furnished us with that which will gain His attention, as it were, on the other side of the door. And you say, well, what may this be? What is this certain sound that would be recognized well to God that He would give Himself to hear? Well, I say certainly we might say that the promises of God are a knocker that we can use. They are that which sounds well in the ears of God, that which gains God's attention, which reminds Him or lets Him know that indeed He has one who stands knocking. And I say the Lord shall surely recognize His promises and He will respond. In other words, what I'm saying is this. Pray the Word. Pray the Word. You want to know what to pray to gain the mind and heart of God? Pray the Word. Take the Lord's promises back to the very one from whom they came. Lift them up, as it were, as a tool through which you knock on the door of God. Lord, Thou hast said. Thou hast said that if I... then you will fill in the blanks. Thou hast said. In fact, I read one man who commented on this portion of Scripture and was saying, you know, back in the days when they used to have door knockers, they had a little, a nail with a large head that they would strike into the door. and it was that nail that the hinged door knocker would come down and rattle. And usually back in the old days when they had a door knocker, they didn't have these little tiny little brass things that we got on our doors where you can only take two fingers. And it would tick, 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 tick. That's not how the door knockers were back in the old days. They were big, old, heavy things. Wham, 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 wham. In fact, they used to say that these doors were knocked on so much, and those heavy knockers were so heavy, and they struck so hard against that nail that was in the door. They say the saying was that one might well be killed if one were to receive that kind of knocking against the head. And so that's where we get the saying, just as a point of trivia, that's where we get the saying that a man can be dead as a doornail. That he has received such a blow of striking that he is dead. Well, what I'm trying to say to you is this. When you take the promises of God, be not afraid to strike the door with it. Be not afraid to use them heartily. Do not be afraid to knock with might on the door of God, holding your hand upon His promises, pointing to them as the reason why you should be heard. But I say perhaps even the greatest tool, the greatest provision of this useful provision that we have here, this knocker, if you will, is not just the promises of God, but the name of Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus Christ. When you come to the Lord and you're in a place of need, and you need the Lord to open to you, take with you the name of Christ. That is the surest sound before the throne of heaven. That is a name, that is a sound that shall not go ignored by the divine ear. God shall hear, God shall honor, God shall recognize, and God shall answer at the name of Jesus Christ. We have been much lately thinking upon the place of Christ in the practical life of the believer. Well, here's an instance where the rubber meets the road. Here is an instance of that practical issue. When you come to prayer and you come to knock on the door, use the name of Jesus Christ before God's throne that shall be recognized. I say the way to heaven's riches for my poor heart comes through the person of Jesus Christ. His name shall be well heard in the heavenly land. Let us not be afraid to take it. Come with that name upon your lips. Come with that name upon your heart. And when I say that we are to come with His name, I say let's not just plead simply that the Lord hear us for Jesus' sake. Yes, we are to think that that is the truth. We come pleading that the Lord will do it for Jesus' sake. But I want you to understand when we take the name of Christ before the throne, not only are we lifting up Christ's sake, but we are lifting up Christ's authority. Lord, Thou hast said through Christ that Thou will answer. Christ has said. We are in union with Him. You have said in your word you will deal with us as you deal with Christ on the authority of that word. Then recognize this name and deal with me for His sake. Fourthly, we have a heartening promise. We have a heartening promise. The promise is that the door of God shall be opened. Shall be opening. Why is this so heartening? Why is this something that will lift up my soul? Because the promise, I say, is freely given. The Lord does not withhold any blessing from that which He has spoken so freely of. We have been given a promise freely. You never asked for the Lord to open that door, did you? Was it your conditions that you brought before the Lord and asked Him to honor? No, not at all. It was indeed the Lord that gave you this promise. You know, does the Lord tell us these things? Does the Lord offer to open us to us His blessing and to keep us in the center of His riches and His blessing? Does He do this only to tantalize us? Does the Lord tease? Is God a tease? Oh, no. Every man that knocks shall know the opening of the way to God. Every man that knocks shall know the opening of the way to God. Every man. Brother, if you are here tonight and you knock, you shall be received. But you know, one may say, well, wait a minute, brother. Aren't you Reformed? Aren't you a Calvinist? What if this man's not one of the elect? Will he be received? If he knocks, will he be received? Well, let me tell you, give you a little bit of an illustration. It's an old illustration, one that comes from years back, but still the truth is the same. The saying goes that there was a Methodist and a Calvinist that were talking together one day, and the Methodist comes to the Calvinist trying to prove his point and says, "Brother, I want you to know that I have some money for you, but I am not sure that you are elect to have it." And the Calvinist, being a wry old guy, turns to him and says, "Well, I'll tell you what, brother. You put it in my hand and I'll tell you whether I'm elect to have it or not." You say, well, that was kind of a wry answer. But it's the truth. And I say to you tonight, if you're wondering about whether you'll have the promises of God and the riches of God and the blessing of God, you come and you knock. Put your hand to the knocker and strike the door, as it were, and see. That's all you got to do. Claim the promise of God by faith and it is yours. And I say, when it comes to matters of election and the causes behind whether a man shall receive, let's leave those causes to the one who is the first cause. Let's not be worrying about all those things. Let's tell men. In fact, I believe this with all my heart. Let's tell men that if they stretch forth the hand to receive Christ, they'll have Christ. If they stretch forth the hand to receive the blessing of God through Christ, they'll have the blessing of God through Christ. Now, if you want to say that I'm not a Calvinist for saying that, well, then you go right ahead. But I believe it's just as true. And I say, let's just leave all the causes and all the first reasonings for all these things in the hand of Him who knows what the counsels of His own will are. Let us just proclaim, look to Jesus Christ. Look to Jesus Christ and you shall live. And leave all of God's business in His own hands. I say then that there is, then in the last thing, something that Pilgrim saw. As Pilgrim came to that wicked gate, he thought it was closed, but then he found that it would open. He found that it was not barred, that it was not locked, the gate would open, that it opened to him as he drew the hand to knock and put it against the wood. The gate came freely open, and you see that there was a glorious result. What was that glorious result? Well, we might think that when the Lord tells us that when we knock and the gates of heaven are opened, or the door is opened, then we stay where we are and the blessing of God comes out to help us in the situation where we are. No. That's not the image here. When the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Knock and it shall be opened," He's saying, it will be opened not that something may come out to you, but that you may go in. That you may go in. There is a sense in which the two are vitally different. One would say you get something, but the door may be closed again upon you. You may find that there is a shutting again, or there is some stoppage of the blessing that will come. Whereas when one goes through the gate, as Pilgrim found, he was now on his way. He went through the gate and he was clean on his way to the place of glory, to heaven. When the Lord opens our door, so to speak, by His grace, we are invited to come in. Invited for what purpose? Well, yes, that we are known and made the sons of God. That happens when we are embraced by the Lord in salvation, when we trust in the Lord and when we put ourselves in His hands and He saves us by His grace. Yes, we are adopted. But now when we enter in, as it were, when the door is open to us, We come under the direct smile of God. We are in the house of our Father, and we shall know all that we have coming to us as sons. We are entered in. There is now the fulfilling of the relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. The Lord says, if you knock, if you have a need, you open, and I will bring you in with myself. I will bring you into the place of communion. I will bring you into the place of blessing. I will bring you into the place where you belong. Oh, a glorious result indeed. A simple image. A simple statement by the Lord Jesus. But one that has so much meaning. One that is so full. Oh, indeed, may the Lord bless His Word to our hearts tonight, that we would be a people that would be swift to find ourselves knocking on the door. Lord, oh Lord, open to me that I may know the fullness of Christ and the fullness of Your blessing. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we do pray that Thou wilt take now Thy Word, and we pray, O God, that Thou wilt use it in our hearts richly. We pray that Thou wilt give us a greater trust in Christ, and Lord, I pray that Thou wilt allow Thy Word to remain and do in us what I would ask of Thee and what we would ask of Thee as Thy people. O God, do a work that makes us like Christ. Lord, bless us now. Keep us in Thy fear, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.